You are listening to Uncommon Women on Red Podcast.
She may be a well-known name, but how many people know the real Farah Khan? Yes, she's an award-winning choreographer, director, and producer who has worked with the biggest Bollywood stars. But she hasn't let fame affect her. That's because Farah's is not a glitzy, glamorous life story. Her father, film producer Kamran Khan, made what she calls B and C grade films. But the family was always on the sidelines of Bollywood. They were not part of the mainstream elite. And when Kamran's movie failed, the family lost everything. Her mother had to sell everything they owned. Farah was just 5 years old and saw her family go from riches to rags overnight. When he died 13 years later, Farah's father had just 30 rupees in his pocket. Yet, Farah faced life with a smile and grew up determined. In the early 1980s, when she saw Michael Jackson's Thriller music video, she knew she had found her passion. She taught herself to dance. The rest, as they say, is history. Hello and welcome to Uncommon Women. I'm your host, Gayatri Rangachari Shah, and I bring you inspiring stories of women breaking barriers to make the world a better place. Jo society mein badlaav la rahi hain. I've had the privilege of knowing Farah for a number of years. She wrote the foreword to a book I co-authored called Changemakers on 20 women transforming Bollywood behind the camera. In that foreword, she gave the example of a photo taken of the unit of the first film she worked on, Jo Jeeta Wohi Sikandar. It was 1992. There were 75 to 80 men in the frame and just one woman, Farah. The industry has come a long way since then. Farah, who is totally self-taught, is an example of just how much. If there's a hit Bollywood song you love dancing to, chances are she had something to do with it. She's choreographed more than 250 songs in more than 120 movies. She's won a national award and umpteen others. In 2004, she became the first woman to direct a big-budget, action-packed Hindi film, Main Hoon Na. It shattered a glass ceiling. Her second film, Om Shanti Om, starring Shah Rukh Khan and Deepika Padukone, was the highest-grossing Hindi film of all time when it released. She's been nominated for a Tony Award for the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical Bombay Dreams. And while she's had her failures too, Farah remains one of the few women to direct mainstream Hindi films. And through all her ups and downs, one thing she has retained is a fantastic sense of humor. As a judge on TV reality shows and as a talk show host, we see her personality shine through. It's no wonder her no-nonsense, plain-speaking appeals to millions. Farah, hello and welcome to Uncommon Women.
My God, Gayatri, this is such a... I felt that I've died and somebody is reading my obituary.
Arre, aisa please mat boliye.
Better be writing it if anything happens to me.
Nothing is going to happen to you. May you live for 100 and more years.
That's what my children say. I keep emotionally blackmailing them. If they say, oh, today is a bad day, I said, darling, the day your mother dies is a bad day. Today is a good day, so...
Farah, so,
thank you so much.
It's so lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for being here with us. You know, Farah, you said you haven't been very productive during this lockdown and that you don't feel guilty about it. So tell us about that.
You know, Gayatri, before the lockdown, I think all of us had a million and one plans. We all had our lives sorted and scheduled, and we all knew what we are going to do 3 months and 1 year from now. Am I right? I'm sure everybody, you being so, proper and rigid about your timelines, we all had that. I was supposed to start a film by end of May, June, people in Bollywood, everybody had a release date of 2021. And then this happens and... there's that old saying, man proposes and God disposes. Or if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Right.
So I think that's exactly what happened to the whole world. And well, it took me about a month to kind of, it took us about a month to wrap our heads around what just happened. And that we are in a lockdown and, oh, we can't go anywhere.
Right.
And then I think we all lived in this false hope ke do hafte mein vaccine aa jayega.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I think we're still all living under that false hope. Agle hafte vaccine aa jayega, agle hafte everything will be normal. So I had already finished two scripts before the lockdown happened, and I'm not a person who can write in isolation. I need people around me, and I need my writers and, you know, the buzz of sitting together and cracking jokes, eating food together and creating something.
Right.
So I don't think people should at all feel guilty if they are not using. This is, I think, a time to just be.
Right.
You know. And then, of course, I got busy because there was just so many people in trouble.
Right.
You know, that you felt that you needed to do something to help people. You know, so along with my children, I got busy in doing that.
Right. In fact, your children, we've been following them, obviously, on social media. And one has been painting. And it's really remarkable. The other one,
though, raised around 4 lakhs. You know that?
It's amazing.
Anya's raised about 4 lakhs. She's all of 12 in these 2 months. But she's made almost 150 sketches of people. So even if any of you or your friends want their sketches, their pets sketched, please do place an order with her.
So how does one...
All the money is used to feed stray dogs and slum dwellers.
So Farah, kaise pata chalega? How do we send her? How do we communicate with Anya to try to make that happen?
I will give you my email ID.
And Farah, during the lockdown, you were also, I think, the first one to call out celebrities who were posting their workout videos, flaunting their privilege, as you called it. And you were thanked, but you were also trolled for it. So tell us, you know, what were you thinking when you did that?
I don't think I was thinking much. It just came out of a place of reading the paper in the morning, seeing pregnant migrant women walking barefoot back to their villages with children in their arms, fathers hungry, holding kids on their shoulders, and then going to Instagram and seeing some celebrities sitting in their very fancy gym or garden and saying, don't worry, you know, just do yoga. So I think it just came out of a place of, I don't know, I was angry. I was like, listen, guys, don't do this, because, you know, anyway, we have a reputation of being ditzy and hollow. let's not prove it right. And maybe the way I said it was a bit too strong. I should have sugarcoated it, but I just felt like, listen, there are 500 problems and all can't be solved by doing yoga. People don't have a house to bloody sit in.
Right.
And of course, I got trolled by people who completely took the wrong meaning. I never said don't work out. I work for an hour every day. I swim for an hour every day. But I'm like, this is not the time, right? You know, your fancy gyms. And it's a bit Mary Antonish.
Right.
At that point, I felt, you know, it was like, let's sit at home and let's all bake banana bread.
Right.
And put it out. And then what does a migrant? And then you see hungry children, you know, who don't know when the next meal is coming from. So I guess the dichotomy of it got to me.
Right.
Yeah, I'll be asked about this for many years from now on.
Magar,
I must say it was effective. Everyone promptly stopped doing workout videos.
That's right. That's right. And that, as you said, it was a dichotomy and, you know, it was a big disconnect between what certain people were experiencing.
Yeah, actually, because I've come from a place of poverty. So I empathize and I know and there's a disconnect from people absolutely living in an ivory tower, in an ivory bubble, I would say, you know, and can't take pride in saying, oh, today I washed my own dishes, you should be knowing to do that. It's a life skill.
Right.
You know. My children know how to do that.
Yeah, ki aaj maine jhadu kiya.
You can't take pride in saying, first time I washed my dish, it just looked like.
So Farah, hamein bataiye, you know, your early days, people think of you, they associate you as someone who was born and brought up in the industry, which of course you were, but your life story is quite different. It was a long, hard struggle. You at one point even lived in what you called a storage room. So tell us about your growing up years.
We became poor when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was then out of work for 13 years.
Ah, okay.
Almost 13 years. I was 18, almost 19 when he died. So 13 years he sat at home and didn't have work.
Mm-hmm.
And drank from morning to night because in his field of B-grade people and all, he was doing quite well. I guess nobody will know his name because those are not the movies you remember. So we were not in the, like you said, we were not in the thick of it. We were on the sidelines. But movies were a passion with everybody in the house, you know. Everybody used to discuss movies. And I remember when I was 3 years old, or 2.5, I saw my first movie. And we didn't have a TV, we didn't have phones, we didn't have computers. Of course, we didn't have anything. We just had movies to go to.
Right.
So the whole world revolved around movies. And for the kind of life that we lived, I think that was the only 2 or 3 hours in the week where we went and we were happy.
Hmm.
You know, that to go into, which is why I probably like escapist movies.
Hmm.
You know, now I can rationalize myself. And because at that time, I didn't want to see a real movie. I already had enough stress in my life. My dad had turned alcoholic. My mother was divorcing him. I just wanted to go. I wanted to lose myself in a Manmohan Desai movie or a fab Bollywood big movie where everything was, you were just happy for those 3 hours. I know where my sense of making movies come from, you know. I want people to be happy when they go there.
Farah, did you always have a happy disposition and cheery outlook to life?
Now when we look back, we only remember the happy times we had, even though we barely had literally dal and roti were all that was made for very long. It was really bad. I'm not a bitter or a sour person. I think it's not part of my DNA. Where you're seeing a hardship, but you're making something funny out of it. And I still have friends from my old building. You know, friends since I was born, they have been friends with me. We have a chat group and we still discuss the mad things that we used to do and how when we were penniless and didn't have. But we make it, it's not a tragedy. I want to not make it a tragedy. I want it to be a feel-good movie. The movie of my life, if you have to say so.
Nahin, the movie of your life, ye hai, Farah, ki wo mushkil dinon se bhi, you know, you came out of it. And of course, you've achieved so much. And I think that's the important message to send across. Is that, you know, even when you have these tough times, you can overcome these tough times. And you, of course, started your career in the industry as a choreographer. But you faced big hurdles initially, right? People didn't take you seriously. You were seen as young.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was, they didn't take me seriously. I don't think it was because of gender bias. Gayatri, you have to be honest, because the topmost choreographer of the industry was a woman at that time, Saroj Khan. I think it was because I was too young. Hmm. And they had never seen a Master G, as you call it, who was not 50 years old at least. And who was not wearing a salwar kameez with a dupatta tie. You know, they are the traditional Master G's. So I was wearing jeans and, you know, like sleeveless t-shirts. And I was all of 25 or 26, I think, when Jojita released. So I think it was that was a little of a culture shock they were facing. I don't think they ever said, ye ladki hai, isliye nahi kar sakti hai. So after, to be honest, there.
Right.
But I think luckily for me, the time when I was coming up was also a lot of new actors, and there's a whole new generation of directors and actors who then thought that I was very cool and they wanted to work with me. So okay. From 92, Shah Rukh and me almost we debuted in the same year in two different movies, but we were friends. We had worked before his movie came out. And then, of course, then there was Adi Chopra, there was Karan Johar, there were all these new people at that time who were coming up. And of course, Shah Rukh himself was working so much and he was very comfortable working with me, you know, because same kind of upbringing, somebody who we could play games, we could discuss cinema, we could discuss books.
Right.
So I think that kind of also helps. See, Gayatri, there's hard work and all. You have to have talent and hard work, but there's also something called being at the right place at the right time, you know, it's called serendipity or whatever. But for me, at least, I think that played a very important part, which all I summed up in Om Shanti Om. And we wrote that, agar kisi cheez ko dil se chao, then the whole universe conspires to give it to you. So at that point, for me to think that I would be choreographing so many songs, I mean, it was an unthinkable dream. Because they had never had choreographers that young, or it was not even a career option.
You taught yourself choreography. Were you a dancer from childhood?
Since I was 3 or 4 years old, I was made to stand on the table and dance to Helen numbers if anyone had to come, because I used to be really good at it, apparently. We didn't have videos that time to shoot, thankfully. So I was a full-on performer, but after a point when my dad slipped into kind of alcoholism, and so I completely stopped doing that for very long, till almost till he passed away. And that's then I again took it up.
And the story, of course, goes that you saw Michael Jackson.
I saw Michael, yes. My neighbor had bought a VHS player. That was the only VHS player in the whole building. And for some strange reason, he had a video cassette of Thriller, which I think I must have rugged out. So I was literally living in Raju Sapru's house. Every day he would call me and we would sit and I would watch Thriller over and over again. And it was really like an epiphany, you know, like this, oh my God, this is what I want to do. To go for college socials and find people who could dance well. And then we made a group together. Yeah, I don't see much of that happening now. Everybody is like, and there were no dance classes that time. I mean, you know, even Shamak was slightly, I think, 4 or 5 years older. So they weren't really, his classes weren't available. Even if they were, we would not have the money to pay for it.
You said you didn't even have the money to go to these dance classes.
There were no dance classes. There were, and even if there were, like I'm saying, it was impossible. I wanted to go to FTII to study filmmaking. And then they learned it's a 3-year course and whatever the fees were. Who will pay my fees and how can I not make money for 3 years?
Right.
You know, because by then we started doing dance shows where we were paid 500 rupees a gig. If we were lucky, then 1,000 rupees per show. Like the whole house was then being supported by, I remember the first time I collected 4,000 rupees and I bought a fridge for the house because for 10 years our fridge had got spoiled and we had no money to repair it. So our poor neighbors would give us pots of water which they would keep in the freezer and then that was the ice. We had no fridge, we had no TV, so we didn't have a phone, we had to use a neighbor. So I had to give my neighbor's number and I remember if there was a phone call coming then, you know, Palanti would come out and shout and say, Farah, there's a phone here. And poor thing in the afternoon, she'd be taking a nap and the phone would come through. And then you have to run from across the balcony and go to the other side. So we had great, I mean, good neighbors who did that. And if you had to make a phone call, then you went to Wagle uncle's house who was charging 3 rupees per call, which we used to hate because it was actually supposed to be 1 rupee.
That's right. It used to be 1 rupee a phone call.
One
I remember.
1 rupee, but Bagley uncle would charge us 3 rupees a call.
Wo thoda munafa bana rahe the. When you choreograph a song or a sequence, how do you think about it? What goes on in your head?
A lot of people have asked me. This is very difficult to explain. But see, for me, I hear the song at least 50 to 100 times. So I go on and my poor driver, because I want to hear it on full blast. So I hear it at least non-stop wherever I'm going. And then just pieces of the visuals kind of form. It's like a jigsaw puzzle almost. So I know that on this line, this will happen. On this line, that will happen. You know, and then of course, if it's a dance number, then we do rehearsals with my very capable assistants. And we do rehearsals for 2-3 days. We kind of choreograph it for ourselves in which nobody is allowed
right.
to come. And we kind of put the song together and then I make a script of the entire song, which is from bar one music to the ending, every line, what will happen in the song, you know. So it's a script, it's a 5-minute film. And then of course then I sit with the art director and discuss what kind of sets I want, give him references with the costume designer, dancers, costume. So it's like making a 5-minute film or a 4-minute film. That's why I used to be called director of choreography. And I think I was the first choreographer to get a poster credit. So in the poster, my credit would come, which was unheard of.
Farah, one thing that has come up, and I think now people are much more aware of it, is the criticism of item numbers in Hindi film songs and how they objectify women. What is your opinion on this?
When I came, there were a lot of vulgar songs going on. Mal Gadi Dhakka Laga and people lifting their saris, and I would never do those songs and I would look down upon those songs. And I don't think they were called items because the girls were called items. They were called items because an item in a restaurant is something that is a special dish that just comes to perk up the, you know. So it was called an item song because it had nothing to do with the movie. It was there to just kind of spice up the movie at that point. Like I said, we live and learn, and there were certain songs, maybe in today's scenario, I would definitely ask them to change the lyrics or be uncomfortable doing. But to blame everything on the item song, I don't think that is right. Our girls in the film industry used to want to do these songs because they knew that one hit song and they can make crores the whole year. They'll perform it at award function, you know, which is why the topmost of heroines would want to come and do a special appearance song.
And do you think कि वो अभी थोड़ा बदल गया है कि अब जो फिल्म बना रहे हैं तो उनमें इतना आइटम सॉन्ग में इतना इम्पोर्टेंस नहीं दे रहे हैं और यू स्टिल थिंक दैट दैट्स द केस?
नोरा फतेह अली इज डूइंग आइटम सॉन्ग इन एवरी मूवी एंड दे ऑल हिट सॉन्ग्स. शी इज डूइंग फ्रॉम दिलबर दिलबर टू कमरिया व्हाटएवर कमरिया ऑल दोस दे आर ऑल आइटम सॉन्ग्स एंड दे ऑल सपोजिटली इन मूवीज व्हिच आर सेइंग दे आर कंटेंट बेस्ड. सो दे आर ऑल डूइंग आइटम सॉन्ग्स लुकिंग डाउन अपॉन इट बट डूइंग इट इन अनदर वे. So, but there are certain things that I probably would not do. Anyway, I rarely do songs now. So we, at that point, we never thought we were sexualizing women. At least I would definitely not take shots of, you know, over the cleavage or make the girl bend down or, you know, do exhibitionist kind of taking. It used to be very classy. Girls would want to come and shoot with me just to make them look. And they used to look sexy, no doubt. But they wanted to look sexy.
Farah, you then made the move from choreography to directing. What made you think about directing?
Yeah, Gayatri, I came to become a director only. I joined films as an assistant director to Mansoor Khan and Jojita Voisikandar. My ambition was never to be a choreographer because at that point, that was not a career option. You became a choreographer when you were 50, 60 years old after assisting somebody for years. And so, you know, that just happened, like I said, by destiny, right, being in the right place. So for very long, because the ride was so good and I was making a lot of money and I was working with great people. But after about 6-7 years of choreographing, I was really itching to like make my movie.
So was there a particular point in your life, even when you were growing up and you saw a particular film or something where you said ki मुझे भी ऐसी मूवी बनानी है, I want to be a director.
Yes, I think that came quite late, I think. Yes, but we used to watch movies and then we used to all go back and dissect it and talk about the scenes and analyze them. But I think the movie that kind of made me was a movie called Arjun, which had Sunny Deol in it by Rahul Dravel. And that was really slickly shot for a Hindi movie. It was really slickly made and I thought the shot taking, and we used to all be thinking, we are all these geniuses discussing shot taking and all. Like I saw Michael Jackson and I said, I want to dance. This was a movie that I saw and I was like, listen, I have to learn filmmaking.
You were 39 when your first film released, is that right?
Yeah.
And then after Shah Rukh Khan said yes to you, it took 3 years to get that film rolling.
Yes.
And in that time, people tried to dissuade you from directing. Yeah, how did you deal with that? Why did they dissuade you?
Yeah.
How did you cope?
I know the angst of people who want to make their first film and who are dying to make it because I've been through it for 3 years. Every morning you get up saying, today I'm going to make my movie. Today I'm going to get Shah Rukh to say, yes, when are we making the movie? And that, aise karte karte, 3 saal nikal gaye. And even though I used to be working with him and, you know, I had access to him and all, but it took a really long time. In the Middle East, did some 5 other movies. Or which I went and choreographed thinking that sala mera turn kab aayega, you know. People dissuade because people have to like to give Fokat ka advice. You know, it was not like they, everyone has their advice to give. So they told me apne, you know, that teri choreography ki dukaan chal rahi hai. So they were like, are no choreographer has ever made a successful movie and their movies have bombed. So wo bhi band ho jayega, ye bhi band. I was like, I don't care. I'm like up to it. By the end of that 3 years, I was barking at directors and all because I was like, "Isko bhi picture ke liye banane wahi, I'm not."
What do you think that was? I mean, obviously, some of it might have had to do with SRK's dates, but beyond that, were there other issues, Farah? Did you have trouble raising financing for it or anything like that?
No. Of course, Shah Rukh was the biggest star. I mean, finances were not an issue. It was just Shah Rukh was taking his own sweet time. I don't know whether. But in that period, I kind of honed the script and went through many drafts. And then he takes his time when he knows that person is his and not going anywhere, he takes his time.
And then after
so it's my little ghar ki murgi, which is fine.
And then, of course, Mehuna came out. And it was this huge success. All the naysayers, you proved them wrong because you were someone who was a choreographer who'd ended up directing a very successful film.
I had no doubt about that ever. Huh?
Really?
I never had any doubt. I was like, no, I'm going to make a blockbuster. And I literally, Mehuna was a return of the masala film, you know, the, because I'm such a 70s child, right. Every movie was a love triangle movie. The biggest dilemma was the girl is marrying the wrong guy or the guy is marrying the wrong girl. I was like, I'm not doing any of this.
Why do you think women are expected to direct certain types of films?
They are still expected to.
Huh. And you went out and you directed this masala mainstream film.
Every time I give an interview, people ask me, but why do you make these movies? Why do you make this action movie? Why are you not making a woman-centric movie? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you going to choice say, shame me now? And this is always why. Do you ask Rohit Shetty whether why he makes those kind of movies? Or do you ask Raju Irani why? Are you asking any of the mainstream male directors why they choose to make that movie? Then how dare you ask me? So every director makes what the stories that comes from them, what they are comfortable making. This is a gender problem is brought about only by the press.
Right.
So it's not the industry now doesn't question me. In fact, they tell me that you choti picture kyun banani hai. If I want to make a, like, why are you making a small movie? What is wrong with you? We want to go and see a Farah Khan movie with the works. You know, we want to go there, see a spectacle and like enjoy and see songs and be happy and see the whole crew come at the end of it and dance and go. So a lot of men who make very good women-centric movies. Why do you not ask them, why are you not making with... How the gender thing is brought about only by the media.
Farah, you know, you obviously then experienced success with the other films you've made, Om Shanti Om, Happy New Year. But then,
yes.
You know, in 2010, Tismar Khan didn't do well. Yes. And you said yes. People took joy in that.
Oh my God, yes.
Was that because of sexism? Is Bollywood a boys' club?
I would say it was also a bit of that, yes, the boys' club. But it was also, it's great fun when a person doesn't succeed, is succeeding too much and you think, chalo abhi isko maro.
Do you feel Bollywood is a boys' club?
I don't think anymore. I think right now, I'm not sure about the hero-heroine equation. I'm sure of that. But in terms of, there are lots more women directors, lots more women producers, lots more women writers. I think it's just now important that a few studio heads also be women. I think just that is lacking. The financial backing is all coming from men. It's going towards equality.
Sushant Singh Rajput's very tragic death brought up the issue of nepotism once again in the industry. Farah, what are your thoughts on this?
Gayatri, first of all, I think it's very, very irresponsible to say that his death was caused by nepotism or was it caused by depression or what, we don't know. Nobody knows right now, right? I mean, even the cops don't know. They are still doing inquiries and all that. And I would say the people who are crying about nepotism, I mean, there is, of course, but at the end of it, people come up on their merit. And if the audience likes you or doesn't like you, there are enough failure stories of star kids or industry kids who haven't made it.
The thing in Sushant's case, unfortunately, Farah, that, you know, the people keep talking about is the fact that despite his successes, he was enormously successful. There was a movement to undermine him.
See, whenever he's come to my house, and he's come many times, he was there at all my lunches and my parties, and he was a extremely happy boy, very fond of me. His last song for Dil Bechara, I choreographed with him, which was a year ago. People should take a lesson from this. People need to stop spreading blind items. People need to stop writing the blind items. And most importantly, all the trolls, everybody who's jumping up, they need to stop reading those blind items and believing them. I mean, the same people who say no, tomorrow you will want to go and see a big star's child when the movie comes out. And the same ones are the ones. So the hypocrisy of it also has to stop.
So do you have to have a very thick skin? Sort of like what you have to
have in
politics.
You have to develop a very thick skin. You have to develop. You have to. Otherwise, if you're like Sushant was an extremely sensitive boy, I would say. I think he was far too intelligent and too sensitive. He wanted to do other things. You know, he used to discuss physics and astronomy and books. He used to gifted me so many books. I gifted him a gramophone for his birthday, which is what I did after Tismar Khan and after my kids were born. I said, this is my work and this is my life. You know, I'm keeping my life separate from my work. I'll go work, I'll have a great time, I'll make good friends, but that is not my life. I don't want to live in that pond. I'll come out of it and go home at the end of it, go to my kids, go to my husband, take holidays with them. Don't make it your life, is what I'm saying. It's your work.
You know, what advice would you give a young person who might want to come and work in the industry?
Yeah, Gayatri, a lot of time people ask me, especially when I go to out of Bombay for, you know, these inspirational talks or these talks, a lot of master class if I do in smaller towns or wherever. And they ask me, ma'am, you want to come to Bombay to be an actor? My advice is don't. But I mean, I can understand the angst, the anger and the frustration of the people who are here struggling, which is why I can understand why they feel it's nepotism. You know, I know they want to make, but that is not the only, that can't be your defense mechanism. There are a lot of, I mean, there's Ayushman, there's Rajkumar Rao, there's Kartik Aryan, there's Shah Rukh, there's Akshay, there's all come, there's Deepika, they've all come from absolutely non-film families, right? And they made it. So, but it's one in a million. So my advice is, if you absolutely in your heart feel that you will die if you don't do this, only then you come. If your passion is so great that you feel, you know, girls want to meet me, the first question I ask is, darling, do you want to be a heroine or do you want to be an actor? Do you want to be a star or do you want to be an actor? Because if you want to be an actor, I can help you. If you feel if I don't act, I will die this month. But if you want only want to be a star and you want that aspect of this, then it's I mean, don't.
Right.
You know, because it's very tough. And I can totally understand the like we say, the struggler. Why are they called strugglers? It's because it is a struggle. It's a struggle for even the ones who have made it. You know, so I understand their angst that why does a film person get their foot in the door? Because they get the foot in the door.
Right.
I'm not saying they get the success, because the success eventually depends on the audience. But they get their foot in the door, whereas the struggler is still standing four blocks away, standing in line to just reach your office.
So unbridled passion is what one needs to really stick it out.
I think if you just feel that, oh my God, this is, I have to do this only there. But if you feel, yaar, main try karta ho, hua to, but don't come. There are other people waiting, you know, and it's very tough. It's very tough, which is why every time anybody calls me or messages me or comes for my audition, I personally send them a message or I reply to every newcomer, even if I don't know them. If they found my number, I reply to them. I talk to them in a human way, you know, because I can understand how frustrating it must be for them.
Everyone is talking about streaming and, you know, all these films are dropping on the streaming platforms,
yeah,
obviously, because the cinemas are closed.
Yeah.
What do you think, yeah, about, you know, how the streaming services will change the industry?
Streaming services had anyway changed the industry, even when the theaters were working, okay, because there was an added source of revenue for our filmmakers. We knew earlier we used to only have satellite rights. You know, now we also had streaming rights, and which was a very big part of the revenue of the film. You will have to release your movie where the audience is. The theaters are shut. There is no audience there, right? So you will have to give it to, I mean, sad as it may be, and people, I mean, for theaters, that's a completely different experience. But till things normalize or a vaccine is found, or I feel I'm okay to take my children and go in a theater and sit two seats away from someone who may or may not have COVID, I don't think that's going to be a priority for people.
Right.
Sadly. So maybe OTT can't afford those budgets. Streaming was a part of the revenue that came, right? We had full India market. We had overseas market. We had satellite. We had streaming. Matlab, streaming was 1/4 of that. Now it's become the whole of that. So automatically revenues go down.
And so tell us about what you are planning to do. You know, I suppose you could work from home, but as you said right in the beginning, you like being around people, you like being around your writers, you get that energy. So what next for you?
That is a very good question, and nobody can answer that. I just read somewhere, What did you answer when they said, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Did you say, I see myself in a lockdown with no money coming in? I can't answer that. We don't know how we are going to go shoot, how we are going to make, if this situation doesn't right itself.
Right.
We don't know. I don't know. I'm not being modest or anything. But I guess whenever it normalizes, we'll know. Can't stress over something you have no control over.
Right. Shooting has started slowly, right, Farah?
But only very small, like just TV shows and all with 20 people, 30 people. It's not possible to shoot a movie, and only in Film City. Right now, like, they are just testing the waters. I feel till a big star doesn't go and shoot,
well,
then we don't know.
God willing, we'll have, when once we have a vaccine, let's say ki hum log thoda 2020 ko delete karke aage chale jaye.
I'm not growing older than old people. This year is not counted.
I think everyone feels that way ki ye saal koi count hi mat karo. But let's say we do go back to a safe environment. Do you plan to make a new movie? Is that what you're planning on doing?
Or? Yes, of course. And I've been reading a lot of scripts, going through them, discussing. There are some OTT web shows ka scripts that have come, because we have to pretend to do something we're doing.
Well, Farah, thank you so much. It's always so wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. So anything for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was Farah Khan talking to us about how a tough childhood shaped her love for escapist happy cinema, how her love of films led to a career choreographing, directing and producing, and what it's like to work in Bollywood. And if you wish to order an artwork from Farah's daughter to support her fundraising efforts during COVID, you can email Farah at farahkhandirector@gmail.com. Do join me for another episode of Uncommon Women.
You were listening to Uncommon Women on Red Podcast.